Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. So much football happening yesterday. Kirk Cousins on his way to Minnesota. The Jets go to their plan B. They bring in two quarterbacks. Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater make a couple of signings on defense, bring in Isaiah Crowell. The Giants don't do much. They bring in an ancient running back who's got a relationship with the general manager. And now we dissect it, Boomer, and turn our eyes to the draft. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great, Greg. And I we felt like yesterday, after we got off the air, all hell was going to break loose, and certainly it did. I mean, Kirk Cousins never gave the Jets a chance. I mean, the Jets could have offered him 5 years, $150 million, and $100 million guaranteed. He was not taking it. And the reason I believe he was not taking it is because this young man tends to be extremely secure in who he is.
Yeah.
And now has manipulated the system to his benefit. And like Doug Baldwin, the wide receiver of the Seattle Seahawks, was tweeting yesterday, every player should be thanking Kirk Cousins for doing what he's doing and getting the contract that he got. So Kirk Cousins basically will make $124 million or $125, somewhere around $124 to $126 million over the five-year span that included the 2 years where he was playing under the franchise tag for the Washington Redskins and the $84 million that he's going to be getting from the Minnesota Vikings over the next 3 years. So this guy is bet on himself. He picked the team that he felt gave him the best chance to win, which also means that if he wins and plays well, that 3 years from now, he'll be back at the free agent trough looking for even more guaranteed money. So this is the guy who started his first 3 years of his career essentially in anonymity behind Robert Griffin III, made no money, then came on after Robert Griffin III basically got kicked out of Washington, D.C., and if there were ever a player that deserves to get what he gets, it doesn't matter what you think of him as a player, he got it. And I think all players should take notice of that and thank him for doing what he's doing, because it will now raise the bar for Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, any of these guys that get new contracts now that are coming up are all going to be using this as major leverage as quarterbacks. So it's supply and demand. The demand was out there. There is a very limited supply of top-end talent at the position, and he struck it rich, and good for him. And I think it's a good deal for the Minnesota Vikings because it's short-term,
yeah,
not long-term. And you know what? It also tells me two things that I think we all see this morning after what we saw yesterday, the flurry of trades and signings and all that stuff that will all come today, when the league year starts. Two things. One, I believe the Browns are going to take Saquon Barkley, number one. So that means the Giants will have their choice of any one of the quarterbacks there for their taking, which I think is a good thing. I think that really bodes well for the New York Giants. Number two, I also think that there's an enormous amount of pressure on one Kirk Cousins to perform now. He is going to a team that was one step away from the Super Bowl, played in the NFC Championship game, and it goes to show you what that staff up there, that front office staff, thought of their quarterbacks long term. Said, you know what, we can't trust any of the guys that we had here. We had to go out and get a new one. So the Minnesota Vikings now and Kirk Cousins are under enormous pressure to get back at least to where they were last year, if not one step further.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit torn on it as a Vikings fan, but I do think that the Jets dodged a bullet here because I don't believe that giving Kirk Cousins all that money, and they would have had to give him more money than the Vikings gave him, was the right way to build this roster. And it's a little bit weird to me that you're bringing in two guys on one-year deals, but I don't think it's ultimately going to matter as long as they still draft a quarterback, and they have to do that. There's no way that the Jets are going going to have that number six pick and not draft a quarterback because they brought in Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, no, they have to. They have
they
to get
cannot
one.
Change their plan. So maybe they strike lightning in a bottle with Teddy Bridgewater and the guy comes back and he's great. But my feeling is that if the Minnesota Vikings, who loved this guy, I'm telling you, they absolutely loved Teddy Bridgewater, so much so that they had to cancel practice the day that he got hurt because his teammates were so upset, not only for the prospects for that particular season in 2016, but also because they loved the guy so much that they didn't want to give him another chance. And the fact that he signed a one-year deal with the Jets when the Jets had already given Josh McCown $10 million, that says to me that the league and the team he was just on doesn't think that he could play anymore.
You're right. So I think this is actually, when it's all over said and done with, Kirk Cousins was not going to come here. He was not going to come here. If anything, Jets were probably used for leverage to extract as much money as he possibly could and get the contract length and terms the way that he wanted them. So he probably used the Jets in that regard. I think it actually bodes well for the Jets. I don't necessarily know about this cornerback that they brought in. I mean, you know,
Tremaine Johnson.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was basically played under the franchise tag for the Rams the last 2 years. On every board, everywhere you see that he was the number one defensive back available, cornerback available via free agency, with the exception of Pro Football Focus, who said, you know, much like they said about Alec Ogletree, about any of these defensive players coming off of the Rams team, like, stay away from these guys. Stay away from these guys. These guys are not as good as everybody thinks they are. So there will be some of that negativity that will be a part of this signing of Tremaine Johnson. But I think Avery Williams is a good signing. I think that's a good, solid inside linebacker for you, a good guy by all accounts. The Isaiah Crowell thing, this is why I think the Browns are drafting Saquon Barkley, because essentially they have Duke Johnson that I think that they have to give a contract to, and that means they're going to go out and get Saquon Barkley, which means the Giants will have the pick of the quarterbacks. But not a bad signing for Isaiah Crowell. He's still only 25 years old.
Right.
He can catch the ball in the backfield. The thing at the end of the day.
Isn't he Bilal Powell though?
Yeah. Well, but younger. You know. So what's wrong? You can't have two. You got to have a bunch of running. You got to build your team. You still have to build a football.
No,
team.
I understand. I think he's an okay player. I'm going to read you something. The thing you were alluding to with Tremaine Johnson on Pro Football Focus. I'll read you this quick. Johnson has all the traits of an elite corner, and the fact that he was franchised twice already might suggest he is one, but nothing in our grading agrees with that evaluation. In fact, it can be argued that Johnson was the weak link in the Rams secondary at times last year. He gave up at least 79 yards in four separate games, and his 759 yards allowed were fifth most among all corners. He's a solid starter, but is not worth near what he got paid the past two seasons. So.
But here's the deal. It's all, again, it goes back to the supply and demand aspect to it. And plus, I also believe that there is a significant amount of pressure on the Jets. Whether you like it or not, it's real or perceived. You have the most money in the free agent pool. You have to spend it. You got to spend it on somebody. And bringing in what many people feel is a top corner, sometimes you have to overpay for that, and that's just the way. That's just the cost of doing business in today's NFL. So I'm not going to get all caught up in all that. I do think, however, that the Jets now have to focus on trying to get one of these quarterbacks, because let's face it, you know Cleveland's going to take one. So somewhere along the line, they're going to take Saquon Barkley, and they either sit at number four thinking that the Colts are not going to trade out of that spot. You got to watch out for the Buffalo Bills, though. So that means the Browns would have to trade with the Colts, and the Browns do have assets to be able to trade,
right?
And just switch one spot to make sure that they get the quarterback that they want. So if they want Josh Allen or Sam Darnold, that means that they have to make sure that that happens. They have to trade that fourth pick to the three pick, and then give some assets to the Colts. And the Colts need assets. They need a lot of assets.
I just don't know why you mess around.
And by the way, and then the Colts at number four, right?
Yeah.
The Colts at number four now have another valuable pick because there are still quarterbacks available. And you have Denver sitting there. You have Buffalo still trying desperately to get up into the top five. And you will have the Jets there. So I would say if the Colts play this thing right, they could come away with a lot of assets because they're not doing much in free agency right now. They could come away from a lot of assets here in this draft if in fact it happens the way I think it's going to happen. But you know, again, so many things can change before we get there. But at least now, we have a little clarity as to what's happening in the draft.
Right, and I don't know why the Browns would mess around, though. This is a team that's traded out of these top spots and missed out on guys like Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Deshaun Watson and all these guys. Now they're going to mess around again with missing out on one of these quarterbacks?
Let me ask you a question. No, I don't think they'll mess around. That's what I'm saying. If they take Saquon Barkley, which it looks to me, looking at their roster and looking at how things are moving around, that's what's going to happen, okay? So they get Saquon Barkley. So that means you have Jarvis Landry, you have Saquon Barkley, and you have Josh Gordon. Now, I don't know, Josh Gordon's always got one foot out of the league, but he is a talented player. And then you add Tyrod Taylor to the mix, professional quarterback, not going to win you a Super Bowl, but it's going to be a hell of a lot more competitive than DeShone Kizer was or any of those other guys on their roster right now, okay? So he's your stopgap. He's your short-term answer, and he'll give you at least a quality professional start and maybe five or six of them before they decide to go to one of their rookies, who I believe is going to be Josh Allen still. I think the Giants are going to be taking Sam Darnold. I really do.
Yeah, and that to me is something that I could not get a clear focus on yesterday what the Giants did, because they basically did nothing. They missed out on their top target, and they brought in a 100-year-old running back.
Well, it doesn't mean they did nothing. You know,
they needed to rebuild that offensive line, and they missed out on their biggest target to their old head coach.
Well, and there's reasons for that. You know, the old head coach made the guard the highest paid guard in league history.
Right.
And it's, you know, and again, it's a no tax state compared to this state here. And you're talking about all of that part of it, that part of the equation is a big part of the equation for a lot of these guys, especially with agent fees and everything else. So they lost out on the guy that they wanted. Now they have to try and get, I believe, Nate Solder from the New England Patriots. It's all about getting a left tackle.
Yep.
If you get a left tackle, that basically solidifies everything else. So maybe they sign Solder and they bring Pugh back and they put Pugh in his natural position, keep him there at guard, and then, you know, at least you have the building of a quality offensive line. So I would think that the Giants are going to be all in on Nate Solder. The question is, does Nate Solder want to leave New England, and what will New England pay him? And then speaking of New England, you watch three players leave there. Malcolm Butler, Danny Amendola, and Deion Lewis all go get paid somewhere else. All right. And New England's amazing. New England is amazing when it comes to really deciding who they're going to pay and who they're not going to pay.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Not a single one of those surprised me. Because one, Danny Amendola, I know that the guy has unbelievable postseasons and he shows up in those playoff games. But his role was expanded because Edelman was out last year. So, and this is a guy, even when Edelman was out during the regular season, you'd see him a ton.
And you talk about analytics. You know, you talk about how, remember the Browns, oh, we're going to do all these analytics and all that stuff. Hey, the New England Patriots do analytics as well. And when you take a look at the amount of plays that Danny Amendola has participated in for the Patriot offense, you understand why Bill Belichick was asking him to take a paycheck. Now, a pay cut, when we see him in the playoffs and we see him in the Super Bowl, we're like, wow, this guy's awesome, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that for 16 straight weeks. That's why they were, you know, asking him to take a pay cut, and that's why he left. He has to get paid. You know what I mean? And,
sure.
And so Miami wants him in that locker room. Culture change, the whole thing, get rid of Jarvis Landry, get rid of this one, get rid of that one, and we're going to start bringing in different types of guys because that's what Mike Tannenbaum does. And he realized that, look, we're going to overpay for Danny Amendola. He'll be our second receiver down here, if not our third, and we're not asking him to come down here and catch 90 passes. We're asking him to come down here, be that solid guy that practices his ass off, that basically can make the quarterback better, and, you know, give us a big play every now and again when we need it.
Right, and Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler both go and join Mike Vrabel down in Tennessee, so that's not a surprise there either. And the more that I'm thinking about where the Jets are right now, don't they need to trade up to make sure that they get the guy that they want? They can't sit and watch all these other teams trade up, get their guys, and then see what's left. I mean, we talked so much yesterday. You said it. Nut cutting time for Mike Maccagnan. All right, you missed out on Cousins.
Yeah, it's not his fault. I mean,
okay, Kirk but it doesn't matter if it's his fault
Cousins,
or not.
I mean, but I'm just telling you, Kirk Cousins wasn't coming here. I'm just telling you.
All right, fine. Regardless. He's not on the roster, right? So now you've got two guys in here, one who's Josh McCown who gets $10 million, who is what he is, and the other one that could be like a miracle story but probably won't be. You can't sit back and watch the Browns, the Giants, the Bills trade up in front of you, the Broncos, and then you're like, all right, what's left? This is a huge moment in the history of this organization right now. You cannot wait around after what happened yesterday. You have to trade up if you're the Jets. You have to call the Colts. You have to call the Giants if there's some reason that they don't want to take a quarterback. You have to do that, and we haven't even really talked about that. We're talking about the Bills trading up. We're in the division.
But now we get a little bit clearer perspective as to what these teams may end up having to draft. Now, there will be a second wave of free agency, folks. You know, we're just at the beginning of this. This is it hasn't even officially started yet until later on today. But then there's the second level of free agency. That's the free agency that comes after June 1st. There'll be other guys out there that still have some football left in them that a lot of these teams will end up signing. There's no question about that. So, you know, there's no reason to panic right now. And then when we get closer to the draft, you're going to realize that there are four top quarterbacks in this draft. We know all their names. And there are going to be five teams trying to jockey around to get one of those four quarterbacks. And because the Jets are at number six, there is a chance that they could lose out to the Giants, the Browns, the Broncos, and the Bills if the Bills trade up into the top five picks.
So this is why you can't mess around. I mean, I'm on the phone today trying to trade up.
That's why if you are the Browns, the team that's sitting in the catbird seat, if you will, is the Colts.
Yeah, right.
Because Colts are sitting there at number three. Obviously, you know, there's no talk of having a quarterback. They're all talking about having Andrew Luck come back and play. I don't know really what his long-term prognosis is, but let's just assume that he's going to stay and he's going to come back and play, and that's where the Colts are putting all their money. Okay, fine. So that means they don't need a quarterback, and that means desperate teams are going to come up and try to get that pick. And who has got enough to go get that third pick? To me, the Browns do have enough to get that third pick.
Well, the Bills certainly do.
And it still protects the Colts so they get the player that they want, kind of like what San Francisco did with the Bears last year.
Right, yeah.
They still get the player they want, and they get other assets in a draft that is loaded with running backs, which is something that the Colts need. And the Colts probably need, you know, they obviously need a pass rusher, so they'll still get their pass rusher. And they'll probably be able to add to their defense with multiple picks in the later rounds. So the Colts are sitting there, sweet. I still think the Giants stay, and they take Sam Darnold. And then, you know, and then the Browns, if they can flip with the Colts, then take Josh Allen, number three.
Well, there's three situations that could play out for the Jets. The Jets miss out on one of the quarterbacks. The Jets end up with the last of the four quarterbacks that are available. Or the Jets trade up and try to get the guy that they like the most.
Yeah, my feeling is that the Browns are not going to be any worse than fourth, and they will be taking one of three quarterbacks that will be available to them.
Yeah.
That's the way it looks right now. I mean, things can change, but at the end of the day, yesterday was it was fast and furious. If you ask me, the Jimmy Graham signing in Green Bay is awesome. I can't wait
to
see that.
But you lost Jordy Nelson, though, in the process.
Yeah, but Jordy Nelson's 33 years old.
Jimmy Graham really, I mean, he caught some touchdown passes last year. It was the best year he had with the Seahawks.
But now you're playing in a real offense where a quarterback's going to be putting balls where, you know, they've never been. Well, when you played with Drew Brees, they were there, and you saw
right,
how
Russell
successful
Wilson's
they were.
Not. It's some slouch either.
No, he's not. But Russell Wilson's more of a reactionary quarterback, a guy that runs around and makes plays. You know, Aaron Rodgers does do some of that, but that ball comes fast and it comes accurate, and he will put it right on you. So, you know, I like that signing by the Packers. I have nothing against that signing, and I think Jordy Nelson may end up with the Raiders.
Yeah, and that would be very, very interesting out there. But and they also got Muhammad Wilkerson. So, and I the Green Bay Packers.
Tweet. I mean, I didn't like your tweet yesterday. I think when you're tweeting about somebody's problem with cheese,
you're right.
I got a problem with you.
Well, I said I tweeted out
accusations out there with no basis in fact.
Well, if you talk to people in league circles, I mean, this guy has a huge issue with
cheese.
Have you
ever alluded to this anywhere before?
I have, yes.
You
have. In shows that I've done, I have mentioned that he has had problems with cheese.
I really got angry at you yesterday. I said, you can't make accusations.
Listen, it was a
like
little
this.
Irresponsible, I understand, but if you talk to people, it's widely known that this guy has got big, big problems with cheese.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
So the Giants picked up basically $10 million in salary cap money by trading for Alec Ogletree.
Right.
The Browns have picked up about $35.5 million, which includes a trade for Jarvis Landry and Tyrod Taylor. And then there's some draft picks that went back and forth. So those draft picks also have slotted money that goes against the salary cap. So you see these trades coming out, and then you take a look at, like, I'm trying to figure out what Buffalo's doing, because it's fascinating to me. Because they traded Cordy Glenn to the Cincinnati Bengals, and they traded Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
That is huge money that is now being moved off the books, you know, and they sign a star,
Lutualele.
Yeah, whatever you say. You said it right. From the Carolina Panthers.
Tunga Viola.
I'm wondering if they're waiting for Ndamukong Suh to come free.
Hmm.
You know,
waste, though.
Because Ndamukong Suh is going to come free. You know, it's just a question of as to when the Miami Dolphins are going to release him. Are they going to wait until June 1st, or are they going to do it now? You know, they're holding on to him right now, as I understand it. I don't know if they're going to try to trade him or if they're I don't know what Miami's doing. That's the other thing.
Well,
I have really
what is
no
their
idea
plan?
What they're doing.
Right. Now, I mean, I can understand what the Bills are doing because they're clearing cap space fine, and they're also acquiring picks to move up to get a franchise quarterback.
That's right.
The Dolphins are doing what exactly? What is their plan?
Eddie's the Dolphin fan in the room. Eddie, do you have any understanding as to what Tannenbaum and boys are doing?
It's puzzling. You know, I heard for a while that they're going to try to go after Mayfield, but they'd have to trade up for that.
Yeah, I mean, but, and then you think about, all right, so they get rid of Jarvis Landry, who was a big part of that team. They bring in Albert Wilson. They bring in, who else am I missing that they brought in?
Amendola,
that's right. And Amendola, who is just, I mean, on the Patriots, he's great, but, I mean, you got to remember, they had Wes Welker before Wes Welker turned into Wes Welker in New England, right?
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. They're going to cut Ndamukong Suh. And then do what with that money? I'm totally confused. And they got, of course, Cutler's not going to come back. So you have Tannehill off the injury. It's a bizarre, bizarre way to build a team. Right.
I will say that John Dorsey, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, has really thus far had a great offseason. I would think if I were a Browns fan, I'd be pretty jacked up about what's going on, especially if they had Saquon Barkley and Josh Allen. I mean, that is a home run if they get that done. That is as good as it gets in the NFL from a standpoint of a front office guy making trades, doing things, trying to get the team, you know, back into the competitive mode. And, you know, for a team that's been getting its ass kicked for so long in its own division, to have a bell cow running back like Saquon Barkley and having a top-end quarterback of either Darnold or Josh Allen, how do you not say that that guy hasn't had maybe the best offseason of any front office in the NFL thus far?
Jerry is here. He's got an update for us. Good morning, Jerry.
All right, guys. Good morning. We're brought to you by Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes this Saturday, March 17th at B.B. King's Times Square. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. And indeed, the NFL was on fire yesterday. And yeah, the Jets got involved. Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater, Tremaine Johnson, Avery Williamson, and Isaiah Crowell. A couple of other notable ones. The Vikings give Kirk Cousins 3 years guaranteed, $84
million. You like that? Like that?
I mean, yeah, I'm not a Viking fan. Like I would not like that, but I'm not a Viking fan.
But you were fighting against me a little bit on where Cousins
was.
Yeah, remember?
How so?
Well, I was saying he wasn't top. He was like top 15, and you were like, it's amazing how much you dislike this guy. I think he's better than that. In one of the shows we did together.
Correct.
When Boomer
was out. Think he's a bad. This money to me is stupid, though.
Well, but that's what I was going to take.
I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback.
Well, it's not stupid, guys. It's basically supply and demand. It's what it is. And very rarely do you have a quarterback who is extremely healthy. Right?
You're healthy too, apparently.
But extremely healthy and who has had coming off of three straight 4,000-yard seasons, significantly more touchdowns than interceptions, high completion percentage. And if there was one thing, like let's just say, all right, he's the highest paid player in the league right now as we stand. What is the one thing that I would say is the criticism towards Kirk Cousins when you compare him to Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, I don't know, Matt Ryan you could throw in there probably, Matthew Stafford you could throw in there. What's the one criticism about Kirk Cousins that I could agree with in regards to those other quarterbacks?
Lack of postseason.
That's I'm thinking more about play style.
Oh,
he doesn't throw the ball down the field as much as some of those guys. You don't see him
cautious.
Launching the ball.
He tends to be a little bit cautious. Now, in his defense, they got rid of his wide receivers that he was having a lot of success with, DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, and brought in, you know, Terrell Pryor.
Right.
I mean, so
he had Crowder there. He had Jordan Reed there when he was healthy. The
that
weapons
Jordan
weren't
Reed's
great.
Never healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the I weapons mean, weren't great.
Yeah, so, and he actually camouflaged a lot of those shortcomings for a dysfunctional franchise.
I guess to me, Boomer, when I look at the highest paid quarterback in the league, there's only a few guys that should be making that kind of money. He's not one of them.
Yeah, but again, it's supply and demand.
I understand.
You know, and
he should not be making more than Drew Brees.
Well, every quarterback in the league should be kissing his butt for doing what he did.
And okay, good for him. So I'm not saying it's not.
Whether it be Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, or Aaron Rodgers, whoever the next guys with the next set of contracts are going to leapfrog him.
And if you also remember, one of the things I said was, it's got to be a deal that makes sense. Like, yeah. I think he's a good quarterback. This, to me, I'm sorry, doesn't
make sense. It's not a five-year deal. It's a three-year deal.
It's $28 million a year guaranteed.
Now, and the salary cap just went up significantly.
If they start cutting guys off that defense, I have a big problem with it, but apparently their cap guy, this Brzezinski, is a genius there in Minnesota, and he'll figure it out. I
also
don't
think, too, the highest-paid player needs to be, like, the best player.
I'll tell you what I like. I like the fact that the Wilf family, who are from New Jersey over here, are spending money and building a franchise.
Oh, yeah. They're all in with that team, man. I know. That's great.
Stadium there with their practice facility and everything that's going on. And I know that there's always going to be criticism in regards to stadiums and public financing and all that other stuff. And rightfully so, there should be. But from a fan standpoint,
oh, they're all in.
Oh, my God. What they've done to that franchise over the last 10 years?
No, without a doubt. The old decrepit Metrodome to now. I mean, it really is amazing.
Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler go to the Titans. Danny Woodhead released by the Ravens. Sam Bradford to the Cardinals. I mentioned Drew Brees, 2 years, $50 million. Jimmy Graham, Muhammad Wilkerson to the Packers. What's that?
Did you see Eric Weddle's tweet in regards to Sam Bradford?
He's right.
He's 100% right.
Yeah, but Eric Weddle should just, like, you know, button it up, man, and say, look, you want all these guys getting paid. I don't care who it is, just everybody get paid. That's what you want if you are a player.
Like, they are getting paid.
And I know that. So Sam Bradford makes $20 million in this deal.
Right, there's another one. Why?
Right, exactly why. But
because they needed a quarterback, and he was out there, and he's had some success in his career. He's just got an 80-year-old's knee.
And Eric Weddle basically comes out and says Sam Bradford has gotten paid more for nothing than anybody in the history of the NFL.
He's right. I mean, something like $130 million.
And you know what? That's because he came out prior to the rookie salary cap.
So you,
rookie
you
salary
come
structure.
At this from the player perspective, and I totally understand
that.
I understand and I get it. I come at it where I see my DirecTV bill going through the roof every year if I want to get the stupid Sunday ticket. If you want to go to a game, the tickets aren't any more $30 anymore. You got personal seat licenses. You know what it all does? It all sucks. It does. When you've got Kirk Cousins making $28 million a year, great, everybody gets paid. At the end of the day, everything goes up except for the common person's salary, and it's harder to do these things to these games and to watch these games now. That's a fact.
Do you blame the actors or the singer-songwriters?
It's different. I'm sorry. It's different. I don't want to hear the entertainment thing. Sports and it is. It's different.
Every time Kirk Cousins steps on the field, he risks blowing a knee out, blowing a neck out, you know, carried off in a stretcher.
Sports and entertainment are not the same thing.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
They're not. Entertainment ticket. Yes, they are.
No, wrong. Entertainment is scripted. Sports is not. It's supposed to be more real.
If you want to buy a movie ticket, buy a movie ticket.
I can for $15.
The fish
Shape of Water.
Go watch The Shape of Water for $15.
Then go watch it then.
I can't go to an NFL game for $15.
I understand that. I hate the fact that's the way it is because I have season tickets for the New York Rangers. I know how expensive they are, but I'm just telling you that these players
and it's going to continue. I get it.
For these players, for a long, long time, have been underpaid and underappreciated.
Yeah, I guess that NFL is dying conversation doesn't happen today, right?
Not so much.
Not at all. Especially when Fox is spending $60 million a game for Thursday Night Football.
It's amazing.
Good Lord. All right, spring baseball. Yankees-Tigers played to a 2-2 tie. A couple of things here. Another home run for Didi Gregorius, his third of the spring. And CC Sabathia, one run over four innings. Here's CC. Are you close to being ready?
Yeah. I mean, I want my slider to be a little better. Cutter was kind of inconsistent, but yeah, I mean, I feel good.
All good for them. Yankees will play the Orioles today. Chance Adams will get the start. Yankees sending Gleyber Torres to minor league camp, so he will not be with the big club when the season begins.
Well, that's over with.
Yes, pretty much, which we knew with Brandon Drury and Neil Walker and all that. Mets had two games. They lost both of them, lost to the Astros 6-1, but Brandon Nimmo did homer, a couple of hits for Jay Bruce. Noah Syndergaard allows two runs over 4 2/3. He also was named the opening day starter.
Would you trade Juan Lagares if you could?
What are you getting? Yeah,
I don't know. Would you? I mean, right now
I'd consider it. Sure.
Are the Mets did they have enough depth? When is Conforto coming back?
Probably May.
I would say the first week of May, hopefully.
Yeah, so our reports out there that people have called the Mets or other teams have called the Mets.
I see that, yeah.
Inquiring about Juan Lagares.
And that's fine. You know what? It'll probably turn into an MVP candidate. I would trade for him right now.
He was a gold glove winner. I mean, no, it's not like he doesn't have ability.
The guy misses so many games, dude.
He does. Yes, he does. You're right. Here's Mickey Callaway. Noah isn't just throwing anymore.
He's a guy that wants to pitch, which is really good to see.
And why Noah on opening day?
You know, I think he's deserved it. He's looked great. He did a great job this offseason of getting his body where it needed to be.
Now, Jacob DeGrom will not be ready for opening day, but name the second game starter, which will be the Saturday after they have that day off on Friday.
So he won't be ready for opening day. He'll be ready
They said the calendar doesn't match up properly.
Oh, I see.
And plus, Syndergaard's throwing well. Zach Wheeler, 5 runs over 3 innings. Mets lost to the Nationals 7-4. Ahmed Rosario, 2-for-4, the double and a home run. Mets sending Tim Tebow to minor league camp. He's expected to play at AA Binghamton this year. David Wright, not a surprise, shut down for 8 more weeks. Yoenis Cespedes, day-to-day sore wrist. Mickey Callaway said just nothing unusual. Mets play the Marlins today. Steven Matz, the start there. Mavericks beat the Knicks 110-97. Wow.
Yes.
Knicks have lost 8 straight and 16 of 17. This game was, I think Mike Breen has just had it so much that he said, screw it. Clyde, you do the play-by-play.
Oh, the good strip by Smith. Watch this stuff, folks. The Rock Me Baby slamming and jamming.
It's Clyde on MSG.
Just
I don't know if Mike was there
Breen
or not. I'm not
taking
sure.
Taking his tie off.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
That was about as despicable and disgraceful play of basketball as you will ever see. You just lost to maybe the worst team in basketball on your home court. And not only were you beaten, you were embarrassed.
That's right.
So goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. See you. Goodbye. Yep. Goodbye, Jeff Hornacek. Goodbye, you know, everybody else. Goodbye.
And it's still not going to be.
It's ridiculous. That
still not going to get a top three pick.
Was about as disgraceful as it gets.
And there's
honestly
still 2 games ahead of the Mavericks, by the way.
Hell, the Mavericks owner told them, lose, guys,
I know.
Lose. and then they couldn't even lose.
Nets lost to the Raptors 116-102. The game was closer than this. Toronto outscores Brooklyn in the second half 59-35, but a big fourth quarter did them in. Third quarter, too, obviously. But DeMar DeRozan at 15, Valanciunas at 26. D'Angelo Russell gets out to an amazing start. 24 points in the first quarter, hits his first 7 threes, wound up scoring 32. They kind of clamped down on him in the second half as he discusses what changed for him.
They trapped me. They forced me to, you know, pass it. We just missed shots down the stretch. I think we make those shots, it might be a different game.
So Toronto's won 9 straight and 16 of 17 as they have been pretty damn good. Thunder beat the Hawks 119-107. The story, Russell Westbrook, 100th career triple-double. 32 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists.
I love Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
He's the MVP.
Cavaliers hammered the Suns 129-107. LeBron James 28-13-11. He was asked after the game, so another triple-double for him. It was a scrimmage, I agree. Has the up-tempo game given you more opportunity to have nights like this?
Just say I'm like fine wine. I get better with age. That's what it says. More possession in my ass. What are you talking about? I'm getting better with age. That's what it's saying.
Yeah, well,
oh boy.
He had a big game last night. Lakers beat the Nuggets 112-103.
He's always been very humble, that LeBron.
It's kind of like you. You know, you were patting yourself on the back yesterday three or four different times.
Well, I mean, I learned from the best.
Three or four different times?
No, maybe it was five
or six.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you, Jerry.
And I look at the box score. Lonzo Ball. Isaiah Thomas had 23 points, 12 in the fourth quarter as the Lakers beat the Nuggets. Spurs crushed the Magic 108-72. LaMarcus Aldridge did score 24. Radford beat LIU Brooklyn, first 4 NCAA tournaments. So that ends for the Blackbirds, 71-61 the final. St. Bonaventure over UCLA, 65-58. Texas Southern, NC Central tonight, followed by Syracuse and Arizona State. We'll have the games on the fan for you at 6:30. Rangers host the Penguins tonight, and the Devils skate in Las Vegas against the Golden Knights.
There's still 6 teams worse than the Knicks.
That's
the
unbelievable. Because the Knicks,
the Grizzlies have lost 18 in a row.
Could not have played any worse than they did last night.
They played too good in the beginning.
Teams. How is that possible?
Because there's a lot. Here's what you have: really good teams and a lot of really bad teams, and not much in between right now. It's true.
The Mavericks, the Kings, the Suns, the Grizzlies, the Hawks, the Magic,
and the Nets, right?
And the Bulls all have worse records than the
Knicks.
I don't see that. You know, what did we talk about? I remember you and I had a bet. how many more games the Knicks would win.
I think you set the under over at 7 or 8, and they've won one.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I took the under.
Yeah, and you are going to win in a landslide.
I got a friend of mine.
You know what? You know what's going to end up happening? They're going to end up winning their last two games of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Because the other team they're playing against doesn't care, and they're going to get knocked out of the
lottery.
They
don't care.
You watch.
This guy goes to me, friend of mine. He's like, yeah, I'm going to see the Knicks on Thursday. I'm like, why? Why are you going to the Garden?
I'm looking at it as an opportunity to get to the Garden for an inexpensive price.
Yeah, I guess.
Your buddy got free tickets.
He must have. It's the Sixers, and they're kind of fun, I guess. But still, what the hell are you doing? Oh, my God. How could you be that bad and have, like, the 7th pick? It's unbelievable to me.
All right, 642 on a bag. Good job there, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
So much happening in free agency. The Jets were quiet early, and then they ended up doing a lot late, including getting Tremaine Johnson, who by some was the best corner on the market, but by others, maybe a little bit overrated. But they did go out and get him. He was franchise tagged for 2 years in a row by the Rams, so they must have liked him at some point. And the Giants not doing much at all yesterday, missing out on their top target, Andrew Norwell, who goes to the Jaguars, and then signing Jonathan Stewart, the longtime running back for the Carolina Panthers. Now, free agency just opened with the tampering period. It cannot be official, any of these deals, until 4 o'clock today, so we don't know what else the Giants may or may not do. But I thought we'd get a clearer picture on what they might do with that second overall pick, with the stuff that they would do early in free agency, and we have not gotten any indications yet. Now, we are both locked in that you would make a huge mistake if you're Dave Gettleman and not selecting a quarterback with that second overall pick. I just wonder if we're off on what they're thinking. Now, I will not waver on that. I'm never going to change my mind. They have to take a quarterback number 2 overall. But is that what they're thinking?
I don't know what they're thinking, but I would think that it would make more sense to do what we're saying here. And obviously they will look at their roster and they'll say, hey, we need to make some changes here. We're light here. Maybe, you know, extra picks and all that other stuff. But I just think that when there's a quarterback there and you have the ability to take him, you got to take him, especially with an aging quarterback that right now is that salary is not doing your free agency frenzy right now any help.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to. You just have to. This is the NFL, man, and everything is built around that position.
No, without a doubt.
Sorry, it's just the way it is.
But maybe they're thinking, you just laid out the whole deal with the Colts and how the Colts are in a situation where they could take huge advantage.
I believe so.
Teams trading up. What if the Giants start salivating over that and saying, yeah, we can get 3 years out of Eli Manning if we build this team right? So we don't need, what are we going to have this rookie quarterback sit for 3 years when we feel like we can win right away? Why don't we acquire those picks and why don't we get like 10 guys in here as opposed to one guy in here that's not going to play for several years?
Well, that's the reason why at the top of the draft, when you make these decisions like the Cleveland Browns have made the last few years, and they're not under John Dorsey, this is a whole different regime that's running the team. You end up kicking yourself in the ass for not taking that quarterback.
Right.
That's why. So there is proof there that goes to show you, don't make the mistake. Don't make the mistake. And I think with a new offensive head coach who's got a great offensive system, the one thing that you want more than anything, and maybe Davis Webb is the guy. That's the other aspect of this whole thing that I don't know the answer to at this moment, is to have a young quarterback that you can groom in your system.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go, you know, one of the great things that happened to me in my career, thankfully, I was picked by the Cincinnati Bengals at the time and period of when I was, because I had Kenny Anderson in that room, I had Bruce Coslett in that room, I had Sam Weiss in that room, and I had Turk Shonat in that room. And all four guys basically were guys that I learned from. Each brought something to the table for me to absorb as a young player to learn how to play the position. And I swear to God, if I didn't have those guys, I don't necessarily know that I would have had the initial success that I did.
Yeah, and Eli Manning should be. Now, I know you said that this doesn't always work out because a guy is saying—
He has no say in the mix.
The perfect guy to mentor somebody. Well, yeah,
I'm sure he's already mentored Davis Webb. I'm sure he's already, you know, tried to help Geno Smith last year. Look, Eli Manning is a class guy. He's a professional. He wants the job to be his. He wants to earn the job. He wants to be the guy on the field. Then you have to do that on the field to play. in the meantime, you go about your business like you always go about your business.
Yeah.
Now, you're not coaching the other guy, but that doesn't mean you're not talking to him, that you're not helping him in meetings and showing him what to look at on film and video. Hell, they have the Manning passing cam, for God's sake, and all these kids go through that.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
So they have that here for, you have your own personal Manning passing camp with Eli when you draft the guy. So it makes total sense for the Giants to do that, just like it made total sense for the Giants to hire Pat Shurmur. Just like it made total sense for the Giants to hire Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
This is the third of that little triangle that's going to move this franchise forward.
This is the biggest draft collectively for both New York football teams in how long? I mean, it's...
Well, here's a guy that has the answers. Anthony and Albridge. Anthony, what's happening?
Oh, what's up, guys? Good morning. How's
Good morning.
Everybody doing?
Great. All right? Great.
All right. So, first of all, I just got to be honest. I disagree with the Giants having to take a quarterback. And I know you said the quarterback's the most important position, but the Giants do have Eli, and I know he's 37. But let's not pretend that there's not going to be other quarterbacks in future years.
Oh, there will be.
The Giants,
you're going to have that number two pick, though.
If they're able to extract another first-round pick from a desperate team like the Bills, if the Giants can get three first-rounders, I'm cool with dropping back that far. I know people may think that's crazy, but if we get another first-round pick, we have assets. And I don't think that the brass with Gettleman and Mara, after what happened last year, people have to understand that what happened last year left such a mark on this franchise that winning now is the most important. I know, the quarterback is what you think you need, and Boomer, you are a quarterback, so you're pushing for it, but it's not what's needed. Eli will take this team back to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl, with the right assets added to this team. And next year or year after, we can all clamor about another quarterback, how this guy's the next great thing.
Maybe it's Davis Webb. Maybe Davis Webb is your next quarterback. Right. You don't know that.
And
I don't know that.
That's perfectly fine with me because, listen, I hate to throw you into it, but when you were a second-round pick, did they know you were going to beat the great Boomer Esiason?
That's true. That's a very good. That's a very good point you just made there. Anthony, I would just have a
I mean, yeah. I think Davis Webb was a third round pick.
And there are other quarterbacks that will be available in this draft. He's right. I'm just telling you that. So put yourself 2 years ago in the Cleveland Browns situation. You had the number two overall pick, and Carson Wentz is sitting there.
Yeah,
right. And you decide to trade with Philadelphia. Philadelphia did their due diligence on Carson Wentz. They knew what kind of player they're getting. They knew what kind of person they were getting. And I always tell you the story that Frank Reich told me when he went to go visit him. He called me immediately and said, "How is this guy not a can't-miss player? I don't understand that." He goes, "This guy should be as thought as highly as Andrew Luck was thought of coming out of college. That's right. How good I think this kid can be." And that kid turned out to be that good.
Yeah, he's going to be the MVP.
I haven't met any of these kids, but the kid that reminds me most of him is Josh Allen. Now, Josh Allen may not be as accurate a thrower, but Josh Allen is an athlete. Josh Allen is a behemoth of a human being, and Josh Allen has a howitzer for an arm. So, I don't know. I think I would probably talk myself into taking him over anybody else in this draft. But, that's for Dave Gettleman and for those guys to figure out over there.
Yeah, and they may have that opportunity if the Browns do what you're saying and taking Barkley one to have their pick of anybody. Let's go to Lou, who's down in Virginia, who's next up on the Fan. What's happening, Lou?
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. What's happening?
What I don't get is how everybody's so certain that these teams have to pick a quarterback in the top five, where if you look at the majority of the quarterbacks that are elite in the league, they weren't top five picks. Aaron Rodgers was in the 20s. Tom Brady, we know about him. If you look at Russell Wilson, late round pick. Prescott down in Dallas, later round pick. A lot of these guys are
big. A lot of them, but I could also give you Carson Wentz was number two. Jared Goff was number one.
Matt Ryan was a high pick.
Yeah, Matt Ryan was
Cam Newton was a high pick.
Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Matt Stafford.
I know. We know, Lou. But think about this for 1 second. You're talking about the Browns. When was the last franchise quarterback they had?
Bernie Kosar.
You're talking about the Bills. When was the last franchise quarterback they
Jim
had?
Jim Kelly.
You're talking about the Broncos. They had a franchise quarterback who they paid $20 million a year to prior to paying everybody else in the league, and that was Peyton Manning. And what did they do with Peyton Manning? They went to two Super Bowls.
And won one, yep.
How about the Jets? When was the last franchise quarterback they've had?
Joe Namath.
Look, and I was a part of that whole, fiasco of trying to bring older quarterbacks in here and trying to redo things. I get that. All of these franchises want a young guy to build their team around.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that they all have in common. And the Giants, by the way, have seen what it means to have a Phil Simms for your team to go to two Super Bowls, to have an Eli Manning to go to two Super Bowls. You have that guy that you trust.
Right, and think about the transition you talked about, the Colts from Manning to Luck, the Packers from Favre to Rodgers. There's reasons why those organizations are what they are. The Giants could do that. The Giants could go from Eli, a two-time Super Bowl champion, to the next great guy because they had this horrific season in 2017, and they actually benefited from it and found their next franchise quarterback.
That's
you
exactly
can't
right.
let that opportunity
so
slip away.
So the basic thing is the Giant fan is sitting here going, hey, you know, maybe we get more assets and all that other stuff. And I'm sure Dave Gettleman will look through all of this stuff. He hasn't made a decision yet. And then the Jet fan is like, wait a minute. Jesus, we got to get up there. We got to go get a quarterback.
There's no doubt. I mean, they have to.
Because the Giant fan has been spoiled. Because the Giant fan has always had their quarterback, it seems like, at least over the last two runs here that they've had.
Right. I mean, there's no shock that five out of the first six teams are in desperate need of a quarterback in this NFL draft.
And even in between all that, you know, they did have Kerry Collins. You know, I'm going to sit here and tell you he's a Hall of Famer, but what was he? He was a stabilizing force
at quarterback. To a Super Bowl, yeah. I mean, a guy had an unbelievable NFC title game in 2000, right? Sean in Smithtown next up on The Fan. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
All right, great, Johnny. What's happening?
Nothing. Diehard Jet fan. I'm excited about some of the free agent moves, especially the linebacker Williamson and Johnson. But more importantly, adding on the conversation you guys had, you got to see who's available at two. I wouldn't mind as a Jet fan honing up, making a proposal to the Giants, get a quarterback, whoever's left over, because, you know, with Bridgewater, with McCown, it's a good quarterback room to have a young guy come in with no pressure and, you know, get their guy. The Giants, you know, some of the callers are okay with Eli. The Giants could use Nelson. They could use so many other guys best available. They have their third rounder in-house as well. Maybe get a guy a little later on. But
Shorty, I'm just telling you right now, Shorty, there's no way the Giants are trading with the Jets. To allow the Jets to get a franchise, who many people would think would be a franchise quarterback, that
what
would
if
be shocking.
What is desperation, though?
But
it ends up
the
being...
Jets have the assets to give them.
Well, I mean, they got a couple of second-round picks, and they moved down to six. When you grab two second-round picks and only drop four spots, you talk about another pick next year, whatever. I don't think it's crazy.
I'm just saying, if you are a franchise in need of a long-term solution at quarterback and you are this high in the draft, then there are guys that people believe are capable of taking that mantle in future years, you have to take them.
No, I would do it too. I would do it 100 times out of 100. I just wonder if Dave Gettleman has the same thoughts as we have right now, especially when they want to win next year, like that one caller said, because of the embarrassment.
You know what? You know, you have your first year head coach. You don't have to win. There's no pressure to win. You just want to look confident. You want to look like you're moving forward. Let's go to Nate in New York. Nate, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
All right.
I wanted to touch on the Jets signing. First of all, congratulations, Gio, on Kirk Cousins, I guess.
Well, thank you, Nate. We'll see.
I'm somewhat indifferent as a Jets fan. I guess I've wanted the best free agent out there, but at the same time, throwing all of our marbles in the basket hasn't always worked out for us in the past. And Mac kind of turned it around at the end of the day by getting those, looks like, three or four starters who are around the same price, and I just don't think 3 years is going to get us a Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins, it just made
it. Nate, we had a caller yesterday from Levittown, Joe from Levittown, who basically said the Jets weren't ready for Cousins yet. They're just not. They're not there yet, in terms of the team who they are right now.
Yeah,
and I agree with that guy 100%. And I think Kirk Cousins agreed with that guy 100%. That's why he went to Minnesota, because they are the team that is ready for him.
Right. I hated it for the Jets. I'm only okay with it with the Vikings. I don't know. I don't love the guy. I really don't.
Because you're a football fan, and yeah. you have questions and all that. You got a 4,000-yard passer.
I know.
You got a high completion percentage. You have a guy who bet on himself the last 2 years. You have a guy who throws far more touchdowns than he does interceptions.
Yeah, I know all of that. I also see a guy who's just been okay in his career when it comes to wins and losses and doesn't play well against good teams. So that's what I see from him. Now, it's a lot easier to picture Kirk Cousins holding a Lombardi trophy in that purple uniform after seeing what the Eagles did. Because I never thought there was any way in hell that Nick Foles could do that to the New England Patriots. So it's not a crazy thought in my mind that could happen, but it doesn't feel
like
it
will.
Would
you say that one of the reasons why the Minnesota Vikings were so good last year was outside of the quarterback position, and maybe Dalvin Cook, that they remained relatively healthy throughout the year.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So that's the crapshoot that is the NFL. Next year, you could lose three defensive guys, Anthony Barr, I don't know, Harrison Smith.
Yeah, don't
and
even.
And Everson Griffin
don't even
all in the
this.
First game
yeah,
with a
right.
knee injury.
Yeah, no.
And there
I,
goes your season.
No, I yes, great. Thanks for putting that in my head.
That's why they play the game. 719 on the fan or 720 on the fan.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Radio guest extraordinaire Ian Rappaport tweeted out a little while ago. One free agent to watch today, Patriots left tackle Nate Solder. As of last night, it sounded like Giants or Texans, and there wasn't a lot of optimism that he'd return to New England. So we'll see if the Giants, who missed out on Norwell, can end up getting Nate Solder. That would be a huge get for them, especially at that position. I mean, it doesn't get much better than Nate Solder at left tackle.
Another huge disadvantage for the Giants with the Texans down in Texas. And also the Texans have a guy by the name of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to want to play with that kid.
Right, if he stays on the field. You know, Eli Manning's a guy who doesn't miss games unless he benches himself. And Deshaun Watson is a guy who's had a couple of ACL tears. But I love Deshaun Watson. You're right. It's an exciting team to play for. And DeAndre Hopkins and no tax state.
That's right.
All that stuff.
Ask the guard Norwell why he chose the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I would if I could. I'd say, hey, Andrew, what's happening, man? It probably, I'm sure it had something to do with that. Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
You don't, but you're missing the point, though. You know, the point is that we're not disagreeing with you. The point is that it's hard for a fan to wrap their minds around
it. I know, but it's.
Because it's millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. To play a game.
To play a man's game where right, every time you go out on that field, you risk getting hurt and injured and significantly hurt and injured. It is your choice, and you have a skill that very few people in this world have.
Sure, but that's why I'm telling you.
There and show it.
The no tax states are what, Florida?
Yep, Texas.
Right.
Washington, you know, for Seattle.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it
a low tax state would be, let me see, Michigan for the Lions.
Okay.
Arizona.
Why would a state not have taxes? That's so silly.
No state income tax.
Right.
They
why?
They have other types of taxes, but they have no state income tax.
But why? If they see 90% of the other states doing it, why wouldn't they go, let's get our free revenue?
Or if you're New Jersey and you know you happen to be an athlete living in the state of New Jersey, your governor now wants to raise your state income taxes to over 10%.
Alaska,
yeah, there's no.
What are the taxes in Minnesota?
Minnesota are high,
they're
about
very
9.8.
High. Nevada. Nevada.
So when the Raiders move from Oakland to
South
Las Vegas,
Dakota.
Why do you think John Gruden did his contract the way he did it?
Taxes.
That's right, because when they become the Vegas Raiders,
yeah.
No state taxes.
Right.
They'll be making more money at that.
Wyoming.
How about Wisconsin?
No. I just gave you all of them. All right?
So, why would Jimmy Graham not shop himself to Florida, Texas, Washington, Michigan, and Arizona?
Well, there's always different reasons why. Maybe those teams were not interested. You know, that's the other thing. Maybe he wants to play with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's different reasons why guys go to different places. I'm just trying to point out the
obvious.
You're
just saying it could be a tiebreaker in certain situations.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're Kirk Cousins and you want to come to the Jets and you cannot write off your agent's fees as business fees any longer and you can't write off your state and local taxes – you know, how much more do the Jets have to pay Kirk Cousins to get him whole to where he's making the amount of money he's making in Minnesota?
But I thought Minnesota was not a low-tax state.
It's not, but
it's reciprocal, Jerry. Will you listen? Reciprocal tax with Michigan.
Right. So basically, Kirk Cousins is building a house in Michigan. So he would then pay the Michigan state tax as opposed to the Minnesota state tax, which is half of what they pay here in New Jersey.
Out of all those places, how would you rank of all the no income tax states? Which one's the best? Is it Florida?
I think
Arizona?
Most people would say
they're not. That's not one of them.
No,
oh, I thought it was.
No,
that's a low income tax state. He's talking about a no income tax state.
Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, Wyoming.
I go to Texas.
Washington.
You'd go to Texas.
I like Texas.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like Texas and East Coast people very very different.
I like Wyoming.
I like Texas.
You like Wyoming?
I do like Wyoming.
There's nothing going on out
Wyoming
there.
Wyoming also, yeah.
It's I've a nice place, Wyoming.
Beautiful.
I think I'd go down to, like, Miami. Yeah. Wouldn't you go down to Miami?
Uh-uh.
I like Florida,
you
too.
Wouldn't. Give me the mountains.
Florida and Texas,
well,
yes.
Well, it says you have to go to Miami. You can go to anywhere. You know, you can go anywhere.
Okay, I'd go to maybe even like Naples, Florida. How about
there
that?
You go Naples.
A little old.
Naples, go Palm Beach, maybe?
Pensacola.
Delray Beach, I hear that's getting younger.
How about the Villages?
How about Alaska? Anybody in for Alaska?
I think Al will be soon.
I would love it.
Well, you would love it. I could just see Eddie out there bareback riding a moose.
How about Las Vegas? How about Nevada?
No thanks.
I don't know. It's nice to go there for a little bit and enjoy it and get out. But the desert stuff.
Trip. Yeah, but I love the desert.
And he's talking about other parts of the state.
Yes, sure. I mean, why? Outside of Las Vegas, there's some beautiful.
No, I need water, man. I need water. I can't have that.
Live on
dust.
A river or a lake.
A man-made lake in Nevada.
Or a river.
A river.
Yeah. Why
What's
not?
A river? I mean, I went to Pittsburgh. There were three rivers, Monongahela, the Allegheny, and there's just dead bodies and rusty cars and stuff going on.
The water looks brown.
Oh, it's disgusting.
You know what people don't understand? Like, when I was in Cincinnati and there was a flood.
Yeah.
Right? And things were coming down that Ohio River. I mean, there were like bloated pigs and cows.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I know.
There were,
this
like,
is what I'm saying.
Washing machines.
Yeah.
Tires. Cars upside down.
Yeah.
What's this stuff coming from?
There's an old lobsterman that lives in my town, right? And you see him around, drives a pickup truck. And he always says to me, you stay away from salt water for a long time, you turn into a pervert. That's what he said. That's his line. And then he puts his big, like, you know, pants on and goes out into the bay and digs clams with his feet. Like, those are the people I want to be around. I don't want to be around some weird desert and the Burning Man music festival and all the weirdness that goes out there. I need salt water. I need fishing. I need the boat. I need the sunset on the water. And I need high taxes, apparently. That's
right,
what
exactly.
That's what I am, because I'm not going to leave. Hey, Jerry, what's going on?
We are brought to you by the Spring Sales Event at Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram at Amityville, and also brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. Damn the taxes. Tremaine Johnson comes to New Jersey. He will sign with the Jets. Avery Williamson, taxes be damned. He's coming too. And so is Isaiah Crowell. Teddy Bridgewater coming from Minnesota to the Jets. Who
one of the loveliest men I've met
is Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
As Al told that story from the Super Bowl earlier this morning. I'm sure you remember that too, Boomer. The Giants signing Jonathan Stewart yesterday. And Kirk Cousins to Minnesota, 3 years, $84 million, fully guaranteed.
You like that? Like that?
Well, Minnesota better like that, yes. The Packers signing Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson. Green Bay releasing Jordy Nelson. Deion Lewis and Malcolm. I'll tell you one thing. If the Patriots in the damn Super Bowl again next year, I mean, I don't know who they're going to sign, but they're losing a lot here. It's like Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and a bunch of no-names in Patriot jerseys.
I don't know. Well, Solder would be the biggest loss.
I think Brandon Cooks will be back.
Yeah.
Gronkowski should be back. I don't know what game he's playing. And
you
then
Edelman's coming
Edelman
back.
Edelman will be back.
A lot of omissions.
They have Cameron
though.
Fleming. They have Adrian Waddle. They have guys in the queue. Don't
I
worry
guess.
About it.
I mean, Deion Lewis, you put Burkhead back there, White back there. I don't know if Gillislee's still on the roster. Brandon Bolden. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The Panthers signing Michelle Breland as well. That's your NFL story, and I imagine more will come later today, although a lot of the big names have moved already. Some of the spring news from some of the spring baseball news from yesterday. Mets lost to the Astros 6-1, but Noah Syndergaard was good. And then lost to the Nationals 7-4. Zach Wheeler was not good. Some of the clips from postgame of the first. Here's Mickey Callaway talking about who starts the first.
Since we're talking about Syndergaard, he's going to start opening day for us.
He said,
hear all the Pete Riders in the back. The second they get a nugget of news, they just freak out, you know?
Here's Callaway. Says the days simply don't match up for Jacob DeGrom.
Mainly because the schedule worked out that way, yeah.
And he likes now the way it's set up.
We think that's a pretty good 1-2 coming out of the gate.
And Syndergaard and DeGrom. Here was Syndergaard. Explain this to me, because I don't understand the reference. I didn't see the movie. Discussing trying to hold runners on base.
Just kind of go out there and almost like do less. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But I try to do less with runners on base.
I didn't see the movie. What does that mean?
I saw that movie, and I still don't know what it means.
Hmm.
I don't know. It was with Russell Brand and Mila Kunis, and I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, they had a laugh at it.
No, it's all.
Yeah.
It just came to me.
So forced.
He's just goofy. Yeah, he is. He's goofy. I watched that a little bit this
morning.
No, I'm
talking about the laughter of the...
Oh, that could be.
The
That's
pool of reporters.
Certainly possible. Mets play the Marlins today. Steven Matz will get the start. Yoenis Cespedes day-to-day with a sore wrist. And yes, David Wright shut down for another 8 weeks with the back. Yankees and Tigers played to a 2-2 tie. CC Sabathia a run over four innings. Ricky Ricardo caught up with Greg Bird yesterday. He's down there covering the Yankees. How are things going this spring?
Great. Where I need to be.
Yep. Thoughts of the new coaching staff?
I don't know. We got some new faces, I guess. We're just ready to play some ball. That's pretty much it. I think everyone in here is ready to get to the season and get this thing rolling.
A couple weeks away. Ricky asking him just about being done with spring basically soon.
Good news is we don't even go back to the field in Clearwater. We don't even visit there anymore.
Yeah, the scene
of the crime.
The scene of the crime. No.
That's where he got hurt last year. So as they're having a little bit of a laugh and a little chat.
Someone told me a hilarious story when Mike was still here. The first time that Ricky Ricardo filed a rap that they played on the air, Mike was like, Ricky Ricardo? Are you kidding me? Ricky, like, I love Lucci? Ricky Ricardo? So then 2 weeks later, there was another rap that was played, and Mike was in the newsroom. He goes, you know, it's Ricky Ricardo. I got him the job. Isn't that unbelievable?
No, it's very
cool. Well, makes sense. It makes
very...
a lot of sense. It's kind of funny.
The Yankees.
I'm sending... the best there is.
Sending Gleyber Torres to minor league camp. Tim Tebow goes to minor league camp for the Mets as well. Yankees Orioles today, we mentioned Chance Adams will get the start there. NBA, this clip probably says it all, and it was not Mike, it was Kenny Albert with Clyde last night at the Garden as the Knicks lost to the Mavericks.
Crowd astounded by their futility now. Back door wide open. Farrell the finish. And this is the biggest run against the Knicks this season. 19 straight points.
By the Mavericks.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. How bad is that?
God.
Yep, that was Clyde and Kenny on MSG. 110-97 the final as Dallas goes into the Garden and beats New York. Head coach Jeff Hornacek, what is up with these third quarter issues? Outscored 26-12 in the third last night.
I think it might be in their heads.
I suppose.
How much is Enos Kanter making? Or how much is...
$18 million? I don't know.
I mean, my God.
I mean, someone paid like $3,000 for a courtside ticket last night.
I actually was, again, I was looking for some tickets going forward, and it still cost you a fortune to sit lower level.
110 points by a team that had won 21 games coming in. 110 points.
Yeah, Dennis Smith Jr., he had a great game,
not really. He didn't shoot the ball well.
Oh, okay.
He had 17 points, but if you look at it, nothing great.
Didn't Courtney Lee say something about effort and defense?
Yeah, he ripped them apart for not having it.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least there's a little self-evaluation there that seems to be spot on.
By him, yes, agreed. Of course, Courtney Lee was scoreless last night in 15 minutes himself and didn't shoot the ball more than one time. But that's kind of the way it goes
these
days.
It's almost like, hey, let me put a uniform on, let me go out there and run around.
And steal money.
And then hopefully nobody see me.
All right, Sixers-Knicks, Hornets-Knicks, Bulls-Knicks. Which one of these games you want to go to?
I think I was looking at Hornets-Knicks.
Hornets-Knicks on Saturday. All right, it's a Saturday night at the Garden, right? We're in the city, we're having a good time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, where do you want to sit? You want to sit?
Not in the upper deck.
You don't want to sit way up there.
Basketball's tough. You got to be a little bit closer for basketball.
All right, let's say we're in the section 117.
Okay, now that's not courtside or anything, right? But that's lower level.
Right, so $196 a pop.
So $800 before fees, $800 for me, my kids, and my wife to go see the crappy Knicks.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Plus about $60 on the train, right? So that's a $1,000 night.
Right, and
get out of your mind.
You have a great night.
Courtside, awesome. If you want to sit courtside, there's two tickets here, $2,754.
Each.
Yes.
See Come what? On. A bunch of guys not do anything.
So $10,000 for a family of four to go watch that?
Hornets, Knicks. Yeah.
Waste. God, that is brutal. That really is.
Section 117, Club Platinum. I got eight tickets here for you.
I only need four.
Okay, only need four?
Yeah.
How's $399 sound?
It doesn't sound good.
No? Okay.
How do you think Perry and Steve Mills feel? Scott Perry and Steve Mills.
Embarrassed?
Like I failures?
Mean, what a just absolute.
I mean, who
it's a mess. I mean, they've been running in quicksand now for a decade.
Who's
think
the
about this.
Guy, though, that like is like, oh, yeah, we need something to do Saturday night in New York City and then like buys?
I don't know, because people are always there.
I know. I need to know who these people are.
I don't know.
Amazing to
me. Nets did lose last night, too. They lost to the Raptors, who are just red hot, 116-102. Toronto has won 9 straight and 16 of 17. They have been tremendous. They're the one seed in the East, as you know. D'Angelo Russell says they showed you why.
They play together. Everybody knows their role. They go, you know, 10, 11 guys deep off the bench. And they just make plays. They know how to play together.
And Russell had a really good start to this game. Finished with 32 points, which is awesome. But I tell you, 24 came in the first quarter. Really slowed down after that. Thunder beat the Hawks 119-107. 32-12-12. Russell Westbrook, 100th career triple-double. It was the Spurs over the Magic, 108-72. Cavaliers down the Suns, 129-107. 28-13-11 for LeBron James in that game. And Anthony Davis had 31-14. Pelicans beat the Hornets, 119-115. NCAA tournament kind of started with the first 4 games. There were 2 of them last night. Radford beat LIU Brooklyn 71-61, and St. Bonaventure was 7 better than UCLA. Tonight, Texas Southern takes on NC Central, followed by Syracuse and Arizona State. We'll have the games on the Fan at the NIT. Losses for Wagner and Ryder. Rangers back in action tonight, take on the Penguins, and the Devils skate in Las Vegas.
How about if you are the Ranger goalie tonight? They're going to go with their rookie,
Gorgiev.
Gorgiev. Right. And he'll be seeing, you know, Malkin and Crosby and Kessel. And
how many
Broussard
shots do they get off? 80?
They could get off about 60 shots tonight.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about hockey, Boomer.
Okay, shut up, Bobby.
All 8 o'clock start. Right, I know you love right. that.
8 o'clock. Oh, I know it's brutal. Right.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
So, most of our discussion about the draft we've had over the last couple hours now has to completely change.
Yes.
Because the Cleveland Browns have reportedly agreed to terms with former San Francisco 49ers running back
and Ohio State star
Carlos Hyde on a 3-year deal. Now, I don't think you bring in Carlos Hyde for 3 years, a guy who was very productive for the 49ers, if you're planning on taking Saquon Barkley number one.
I will say one thing. This John Dorsey is not sitting on his hands.
No, he certainly is not.
They are spending money, they're making trades, and they're moving things around. And now it makes you think, right, that they're going to be going quarterback.
Right, without a doubt. I mean, I can't imagine that you'd draft a running back number one overall if you just gave 3 years to Carlos Hyde. So who is the guy then? So then on top of that, speaking of running backs, locally, the New York Jets are in and in big on Jerick McKinnon.
From the Vikings, yes.
He apparently is down to either the Jets or the 49ers who are looking to replace Hyde. Those are the two teams.
Not the Giants and certainly not the Minnesota Vikings, who probably can't afford him now.
Well, yes, and also Dalvin Cook's coming back, so I think that when they drafted Cook, they knew they were going to have one more year. McKinnon, he was great when Cook went down, and then they were going to say goodbye. So the Jets may, I mean, the Jets would have then, because Bilal Powell's still on the roster.
Yeah.
They would have Isaiah Crowell, Jerick McKinnon, and Bilal Powell.
I mean, so what?
I mean, so what? There's not a big difference between the three of those guys. I mean, they're very similar in their skill set.
I would also say that it's a very difficult position to play, and you need multiple guys playing it at a high level. How about that?
Okay, fine. But don't you want to have, like, one big bruiser guy and another guy who catches passes out of the backfield?
So I'll tell you, this
Instead
is
Instead of three guys who catch passes out of the backfield?
The signing for the Browns is very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it changes what you think they're going to do at number one.
Of course. So when I came in here this morning, I figured, okay, you know, they let Crowell go. Jets sign him. They have to figure out what they're doing with Duke Johnson. And now comes this story that they are signing Carlos Hyde from the 49ers. That, you know, so now what happens? Right? So that means they probably are going to take a quarterback with number one.
You know what this does.
And that also makes their number four pick now in play.
Right. I mean, and this also put Saquon Barkley squarely on the Giants. Drafting Saquon Barkley. Now there's no doubt that he's going to be there at number two.
And then you got
to
think that, okay, let's say the Colts want to trade with the Bills, right? So that means they pick up some extra pieces. That means Bradley Chubb could fall to the Browns at number four. That also means Minkah Fitzpatrick will be there at number four. Could you imagine Myles Garrett and Bradley Chubb on the same defensive line?
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, that would be something else. A couple of great pass rushers like that. I mean, first and fourth overall, whatever it would be in back-to-back drafts, there's no doubt.
Is there a guy having more fun than John Dorsey right now?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, and by the way, some credit has to go to the previous regime for all the assets. Because he basically, I mean, he walked into a supermarket that hadn't been touched.
That's right.
And no one else around.
And he's doing a hell of a job, at least right now, on paper. It looks like he's doing a hell of a job spending the money that they have available to them. And then when we get to the draft, which is the whole second part of this thing, it's gonna be fascinating watching how he wheels and deals around the draft.
So they're taking a quarterback at number one. Who's the guy? Is it going to be Josh Allen? Is it going to be Sam Darnold? Like that last caller said,
I guess it all depends on who you talk to. If you talk to Mel Kiper, it's Josh Allen. If you talk to Josh, Todd McShay, maybe I think it's probably Sam Darnold.
Wow. I mean,
who knows?
Now everybody's going to be screaming. There's going to be a lot of Giants fans. I feel like most Giants fans that I have spoken to, they don't see it like we see it. Because they want to get right back into the mix next year.
Now, if we're talking about Barkley in the mix, then you're talking about a whole other set of circumstances.
Well, he's always sort of been there, because it wasn't until recently that we felt really strong about Barkley going number one. We had thought about it, but it really wasn't until this morning when thought Corral was gone.
It's crazy. The NFL is crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely crazy. It's unpredictable. And it's, like I said, it's speculation. It's all speculation.
Man, it's going to be tough to pass on Saquon.
And with all the trades, going on, with all the things that are happening, with the free agent movement now, with the Jets now trying to sign McKinnon, I think this is what teams with money have to do. They have to be aggressive, and they have to go out and get these guys, and they got to fill out their teams by spending the money that is afforded to them. And that's exactly what Cleveland and the Jets seem to be doing right now.
It's going to be tough for the Giants and their fans if they end up going quarterback number two and then Saquon goes somewhere else right after that to watch him go off and have an unbelievable year in year one. But sometimes you got to think about down the road and not what's right in front of your face. WFAN's toll-free line is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. 877-337-6666. Steve in Hackensack on the Fan. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Listen, I'm a Giants fan. I think they should take the quarterback. But as far as the Jets are concerned, if they can't get up to 3 or 4 and they have to take Mayfield there, what about Nick Foles? Is that any riskier to trade picks to Philly than taking one of the young quarterbacks or breaking the bank on Kirk Cousins? I have a lot more confidence in Nick Foles than Kirk Cousins.
I would not over the long period of time. I don't know how much of there's like a magic involved and that coaching staff was a genius coaching staff for him. I don't know. I mean, trading a bunch of picks for Nick Foles, who basically thought he was going to be a pastor and then went on this magical run, I think is a little bit dicey where, I mean, Cousins has got something to prove. He's young. He's got all these things. I don't know about that. I'd rather draft a quarterback.
Well, first of all, the Jets are not going to do that because they brought in Bridgewater and McCown. So they're not doing that. So I would think that they're out of the mix for that kind of idea.
Yeah.
Because they've got their quarterback that's going to be the starting quarterback right now, and that is Josh McCown.
Right. I just don't know why you bring in... I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird thing to me that you bring in Bridgewater. All right, so you're paying Josh McCown $10 million, which is, I mean, you think about what Cousins got. He got $28 million, but you're still paying him $10 million. Then you bring in Bridgewater on a one-year deal. You say McCown's going to start. Why are you bringing in Bridgewater if you're not going to see what he's got and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle? So, I mean, to me, Bridgewater's got to play at some point. If I'm a Jets fan, I want to see Bridgewater, and I want to see a lot of them because I know what McCown is. And you might actually have something in a Pro Bowl quarterback who's been on the shelf for 2 years in Teddy Bridgewater. So if you're just going to bring in Bridgewater, sign him for a year and have him sit there and then draft a quarterback, I mean, that's just stupid. It's a waste of money.
You know, a lot of this stuff is just like, you know, moving pieces all around the chessboard and all that other stuff. The other report out this morning is that New England Patriots are making an offer to A.J. McCarron.
Right. Or, yeah, that came from... Kirk Minahan of WEEI was the guy who reported that.
Well, good for Kirk if he got it right. If they, you know, that kind of seems to make sense, doesn't it?
I don't know. If they think he's going to be the starter post Brady, then yeah.
From a Patriots standpoint, it makes a lot of sense.
Sure, but from AJ McCarron's standpoint, why the hell would he go to a place where Tom Brady's going to play another 3 or 4 years?
I guess it all depends on the amount of money he's going to get. And I'm sure that Bill Belichick has done his due diligence on A.J. McCarron because, obviously, A.J. McCarron was Nick Saban's quarterback.
See, if you're the Cardinals, why don't you sign A.J. McCarron as opposed to Sam Bradford in his one leg, right? Sam Bradford is a guy who's older. He's got a degenerative knee condition. I'm not making that up. The thing gets worse by the day. Like, throughout this show, his knee has gotten worse. And then AJ McCarron's a younger guy to get that opportunity. You saw him in the playoff game against the Steelers. Why not invest in him as opposed to Sam Bradford, who you know is going to play four games? Then you're going to be out there with Drew Stanton and get whatever the hell.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anybody's knocking his door down. That's why he may end up having to accept going to the Patriots, which I think would be a smart – seems like a smart signing by the Patriots. Low level, but a smart signing.
Well, for them, yeah. For them, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a ton of sense because you've got a guy who's clearly competent, and if anything happened to Brady, he could step in and be good. But, I mean, is McCarron going to be that next guy? Is he the next Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, I don't know. He's older, right? Isn't he older? Andrew in Kearney is joining us. What's happening, Andrew?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan of the show.
Well, thanks, Andrew.
What's happening?
Quick question. What are the odds of the Giants picking up the running back from Penn State and making a move to trade, I guess, down to get the offensive lineman from Notre Dame?
You want both of them.
Well, it's going to be.
That's not going to happen.
You can't, because both of those are going to be first-round picks.
Yeah,
so.
they're both going to be top 10 picks.
Right.
So most likely. So I don't see that happening. I know that's what would be wonderful to get a great offensive lineman and a great running back in the same draft. At the top of the draft, I just don't see that happening.
And people are going to be clamoring. Now with this whole deal with the Browns, no doubt taking a quarterback at one, Giants fans are going to be screaming from Barkley from now until April 28th or 29th.
What's really amazing, and I was – I'm always very leery about mock drafts and everything else because so much stuff can change, and already something has changed in the 2 hours that we started. But there are mock drafts out there that had the Browns taking Bradley Chubb at number one.
Oh, God. You got to take the quarterback. Don't you have to take the quarterback at one?
If you're the Browns, yes. Yes.
Especially if you're the Browns.
Especially if you're signing Carlos Hyde.
God.
So they basically have just put their whole starting offense together.
Yeah.
You know, they added a new offensive tackle. They're going to get this. Joe Thomas is probably going to announce his retirement. You have running backs now. You have a new running back in Carlos Hyde. You got a new wide receiver in Jarvis Landry. You got a new quarterback in Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you should have some semblance of a professional football team there.
Right. And I wonder how many wins, what their over-under number is going to be. 5.5?
Well, it depends on how many real, truly, you know, what you would say big-time playmakers, you know. If Josh Gordon keep his nose clean and you know stay together, I think he's definitely a difference maker. But the question is, can you really count on him?
Man, it's crazy. So if you just missed it, Carlos Hyde to the Browns, it changes what Saquon Barkley, that whole conversation we're having about Barkley going number one to the Browns.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
I had a rock bottom moment yesterday.
You did? What happened?
You realize how far you lived and it was
No. That wasn't that
hours
actually
to get home.
No, that it was an hour and 51 minutes and it went well.
Oof.
No, it's just that most of my jeans that I have, they don't fit me. And I have one pair now that did fit me and I ripped them. So I've got a big hole in the back of these jeans.
Well, come to work like Moose's. Wear sweatpants every day.
I can't do that.
Yeah, I mean Moose and Taz, they come in here like it's a gym.
It's casual weekday. It's
a sleepover.
Let's do some pull-ups and sit-ups and do some push-ups, whatever.
Yeah, I never there's no TV component over there, but I still never showed up that casual to work.
That Moose looks like he just woke up. I mean, literally just woke up. Like rolled out of bed and decided, well, I got to go sit in front of a computer and get myself ready for my show.
Like a bear right out of hibernation.
Yeah.
And your former partner famously wore some sweatpants.
Yes, he always wore sweatpants.
The purple ones.
Huge
package.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I couldn't stand it.
But he wore shorts too. And
he would, because he doesn't wear underwear, Brian. We're talking about Brian Jones.
Oh. Huge banana.
And he wouldn't wear underwear, so it was a tough
situation.
How did
you know that?
Because he would say that all the time. Man, I don't wear no drawers. That's what he used to say. So it was
huge junk. All right, we got it. We're very well up on that one. Jerry, do you have an update?
It was distracting.
Yeah, but this is more fun, actually. We're brought to you by 2 by London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. What are you going to do?
Are
you going to go shopping today?
I'm going to have to. Yeah, I'm going to have to. And also, by the way, I'm worried about this video that we have to do for CBS where we fill out the brackets because I'm going to have to be standing up and I got this giant hole in the back of my jeans with my boxers hanging out of it.
That is a problem. That is a problem. So the way we're going to do this for the CBS Sports Network, I'll take one region, you take the other region, I'll take the third region, right. You take the fourth region, you take your half of the bracket with the final fours, I'll take my half of the bracket of the final fours, and then they will somehow come to hopefully a consensus.
Yeah, that'd be fine, yeah.
We think the national champion will be.
You know what, I'll just take a page out of Ed Cooley's book, the coach of Providence, who was ripped his pants when he was celebrating or something, and he just stuffed a towel
I saw that.
Down his back and then covered that. Maybe I'll do that.
We'll get you a towel. I'm sure we have a towel.
Where is the
somewhere.
Hole? In the back or the front?
It's in the back.
So just don't turn around.
It's going to be tough because you turn
sideways.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's going to be really, really bad.
Will you go and buy fat pants?
What do you mean? What do you mean by fat pants?
Big and tall.
Meaning, you right.
No,
you,
I'm not going to do that, no.
Okay, meaning you don't expect to be this weight. Like, for me, when I get to my heavy size, I refuse to buy new clothes. It motivates you to lose the weight.
Right, I did that with that sport coat and got ridiculed for it, so I'm not going to do that anymore.
That was a fat guy in a small coat.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Yeah, I mean, the sleeves were, like, out to here. I was like, hey, all the way up to my elbows. So I'm not going to do that.
You did look good in a tuxedo, I thought.
Oh, you know, thank you. Thank you. No, yeah.
And that was a three-piece tuxedo.
Yeah,
it was fitted.
It
you
was
look good.
A three-piece tuxedo.
Did you go to Size Sims and get that? Where'd you get that?
Rico's in Mauritius.
Rico's in Mauritius.
They do a nice job in there.
They did do a nice
job. Did they know who you were?
No, they don't.
They had no idea.
No, they had no idea.
Did you bring it back already?
I brought it back on Monday.
Wow,
yeah.
That's pretty good. That's
why wouldn't I, man?
Most people don't do that. Most people usually leave it, lying around.
No, you bring it back so you don't get charged
exactly.
Extra days.
Yeah.
Right. What are you, nuts?
Well, there or you have your servant bring it back.
But there you go. There's the next thing. Have pickup
Mr. Esiason, would you like me to bring your tuxedo back?
Maybe that's the answer to your question.
That's your robot, the boomer robot.
What, right? You should get a servant?
Doesn't Enterprise deliver you the car?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can do that.
Can't one of these tuxedo places say, hey, we'll rent you the tuxedo and we'll pick it up?
You have Uber tux.
Yeah,
Uber.
Well, let's be honest. Boomer's not renting anything.
No.
You're damn straight on
right.
that.
No, it's not. So I guess, I don't know what. Now I'm going to have to buy. I mean, really, they're sort of normal jeans. These are 36, 32. So it's not like it's like size 50 waist.
How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot. Okay. I told you, it's all torso fat. That's where it all is. Legs are skinny, arms are skinny. Well, fat in the face, too. I got cheek fat. But so I don't know. I have to buy jeans now, though, because I've got nothing else that fits me.
That's what we wear, yes.
Why doesn't the body distribute it properly? Why wouldn't some of your fat go to your legs?
I don't know. It's interesting. I really don't know. Just a little bit goes there.
You would think like your fat would run downhill.
Yeah.
Standing up.
It would. No, it would be distributed. Like people, you
walk around with club feet. Honestly.
But some people carry weight better, right? You're surprised. Like someone would be like, yeah, I'm 275 pounds. You're like, whoa, I didn't know that. You carry it well. Me, because I've got just the big fat like pillow torso and the skinny arms and legs.
You also have the hunched over walk that
doesn't
help.
Well, I do
help.
That, yeah.
That does not help. I mean, I don't know what you're thinking about.
Yeah, you're a bit quasi-motor walk.
I mean,
like you're walking the plank.
Sanctuary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when I see you walking, it's like, stay away from that guy. That guy's miserable.
Exactly. That's the whole point. I told you. It's the repellent. Then nobody talks to you. There's all a plan.
It does work. It does work.
So I was walking around like, hey, how's it going? Like a big, great old posture. And then people talk to you. Then you got Amy Lawrence hanging off your leg as you're trying to come and do the show. You're dragging her in like she's a 5-year-old.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, okay. She was. I could barely hear Al and Jerry their last segment today because outside of it, boomer. That's all I heard.
We like to talk a little bit of football, especially this time of year. Big free agency. She's a huge Denver Bronco fan.
So. One, the fire marshal downstairs, the guy Calhoun, got a big crush on Amy. Sits down there and listens to her.
He does listen. This I know.
That's great.
Interesting.
Yep.
Who's Calhoun?
Is it Cooper? Is it Coop?
This Coop
no,
and Calhoun.
The other guy, not Coop.
Coop and Calhoun, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Coop and Calhoun. That. Yeah, so Coop and Calhoun are down there.
That could be a sitcom.
Yeah,
Coop
I know.
Coop and Calhoun.
Or a morning show.
Well, yes. We use them a lot on the CBS Sports Radio. They'd make picks for us and everything. It was great. So, yeah, Coop and Calhoun. But Calhoun, is and Coop calls him Hoon, which I think is great. He's like, hey, Hoon! And Hoon comes running. And they also, I believe, I'm not going to out them. Never mind.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to out
go ahead.
I believe they sleep in shifts in the overnight thing.
Yes. Sometimes they just sleep, period. At the desk.
Right.
I would think that's a project for Izzo right there.
Cooper right? Calhoun.
Don't out them on video.
No, yeah. Not sleeping, but just getting that sitcom. To do a little sitcom.
We Coop should get, Calhoun, I mean, Coop and Calhoun, if you heard some of the audio of, Coop doesn't know anything going on in the world, period.
He does, though, if you talk to him about the Knicks. He does.
Okay, he does. He knows
and he was talking to me about the Secretary of State today.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he doesn't know anything about football.
His $72 million tax deferment? Oh, okay, okay, yes. Okay, great.
So I had my old producer go down there and ask him what he thought about John Elway coming back to play. And he had a real strong opinion on that. You know, he said that Mr. Elrose should stay with his family.
Well, that's good. That's the kind of thing you want from a guy.
Yeah, no, I know. So he was crazy.
He's always screaming about the Golden State Warriors or somebody.
Yeah, he loves basketball.
And he has a lot of theories about the IRA. I mean, the IRS.
Oh, okay.
And the whole, there's conspiracy theories.
I agree.
Oh, he's got that going. But he doesn't know. Football he knows nothing about.
Right.
So we should get him up here to make some maybe some picks, some NCAA tournament picks.
Got the new Richard Neer book, The Punch List.
Nice.
Look at that. Richard made sure he got it over to me and to Gio.
Isn't that like his fourth book?
It is.
What is the list?
Smoking marijuana. Got a joint, weed, spliff, bong. Hashish brick.
The punch list.
That's right.
There's the list.
There's the list right there.
Softcore porn.
Well, he is
grinding up testicles of goat.
He said
the
a few
boners.
A few weird things over the years.
It's for Jim DeBalzo. That's who it's for. What? That's who it's for. What it do you is. Want
Ain't
from
DeBalzo.
Me?
For Jim DeBalzo.
Good. Very nice.
That's a tough name in middle school, isn't it?
Yeah, you probably change it.
Right. We'll take the balls out of on this team.
All right, couple of things here. It does look like, I know Greg pointed it out before, Jerick McKinnon will sign with the 49ers. So another day of free agency activity in the NFL is underway. We know about everything that happened yesterday, of course. Spring training baseball today. You've got the Yankees playing the Orioles. Chance Adams will get the start. Yesterday, CC Sabathia was okay, a run over four innings. He says he's close to being ready.
Yeah. I mean, I want my slider to be a little better. Cutter was kind of inconsistent, but yeah, I mean, I feel good.
Here was Sabathia, thoughts of pitching for Aaron Boone now as manager.
He's been, you know, good. He's a great communicator. I knew he'd be good at that.
Again, all about communication, right? Boone says CeCe's been tremendous. We're throwing it all back and forth.
I feel like I keep saying this about our guys, but I, you know, yeah, felt great about what I saw again.
And you're
man,
seeing...
it's a love fest
so far.
Oh my goodness,
sure
I'm telling you, this is going to be such a great year for them. They're going to go from like start to finish, wire to wire.
Wire to wire. That's it. They're going to open with a 23-game winning streak.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And you watch this guy, Drury, you watch him.
Brandon, he's batting fourth today against the Orioles.
Look at that. You can just move guys around anywhere you want.
Yeah, you can. I don't think Judge or Stanton are playing today. So he bats fourth as they do take on Baltimore. As for the Mets, a couple of things here. They play the Marlins today. Steven Matz will make the start. You know what? I know what you're going to say, and you're right. You can roll your eyes. You want to assess, but it's a cortisone shot in the wrist today. Remains day to day. I know you hate those cortisone shots,
they
but
shot
that's what
up.
Happened. Yes, they gave him that. Mets Marlins, Steven Matz will make the start. I would think a good start would be good for him. He was good last time out. Here's Mickey Callaway. Noah Syndergaard, not just throwing anymore. You really do see the improvement.
He's a guy that wants to pitch, which is really good to see.
And why Noah on opening day? Why did he make that decision?
You know, I think he's deserved it. He's looked great. He did a great job this offseason of getting his body where it needed to be.
He threw 4 2/3 yesterday against the Astros in a 6-1 loss. He was able to work everything in. How come?
Yeah, it's nice because we don't play these guys in the regular season. Hopefully we see them in the World Series or so.
There you go. Hopefully see him in the Fall Classic.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7
Rosario. And yes, Tim Tebow was sent to minor league camp, expected to play for Double A Binghamton. The Knicks could use minor league camp. They lost to the Mavericks last night.
I would just send the whole team down to G League. Just for
just forfeit the rest of the games.
You know, just send those guys down to the G League. Get the G League team up here. You might as well. You'll get at least better effort.
You probably would
play the Westchester Knicks or
something. It can't be worse. I mean, they've lost eight straight and 16 of 17. Last night, they lost by 13 to Dallas.
Oh, the good strip by Smith. Watch this stuff, folks. The Rock Me Babies. slamming and jamming.
That is Clyde Frazier on MSG.
If you send them down to the G League, you could really work on their confidence. You know, they
I'm not so sure they
defense,
win games there.
I don't know. You know, they could work on their confidence, you know, share the ball.
I just love him.
Plus, it wouldn't have the...
That was Dennis Smith Jr., a guy they could have had, by the way, in the draft.
Too.
Yeah, I know, but at least they have an exciting player. What do we have? Frank from France who can't find his way onto the court. And when he does, he can't shoot. I'd rather take Dennis Smith Jr. and stink than have Frank from France.
Wasn't he the guy LeBron said the Knicks screwed up by not picking?
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And here was Jeff Hornacek. Things were going well until, they weren't.
I thought some of our shots in the beginning of the third quarter weren't great shots. We settled for jumpers when we could have been attacking the basket.
Which they did not do. They were outscored 26-12 in the third quarter, gave up a 19-0 run to the Dallas Mavericks. Harrison Barnes had 30 points as the Knicks lose by 13. Nets fell to the Raptors, 116-102. I'll play one pro net clip and then set you up this way.
Now the Nets try to go quickly. Russell into the front court. He's feeling it. Pulls up for three and knocks it down. Six made threes. For D'Angelo Russell here in the first quarter.
He would make another. He made his first seven in the quarter. He had 24 points in the first quarter. That's the good. The bad, he finished with 32, which tells you he did nothing the rest of the way. Nets lost to the Raptors.
You want him to score 75 points?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
32 points is not enough?
Not when 24 come in the first quarter. He's supposed to be the face of this team now, the big star.
So if he scores 24 points in the fourth quarter, what difference is it?
You go for if they would have, maybe they would have won the game then. How about that?
Maybe, how about if somebody else scores? Or how about if somebody plays defense?
Well, they don't do that.
No, that doesn't.
The Nets do not play defense.
Are you kidding me with that? They're not going to do that.
I mean, if I told you, look, I'll give you 32 points every night, could you work with that?
Yes, it's the narrative changes with the game. Can't do that, though. That's like saying a guy went for 35. Great. 30 came in the first quarter. It means he was shut down the rest of the game.
I know, but the point being is that you're saying here's a guy who scored 24 points.
I gave you the good and the bad.
Yeah, okay, that's the good.
He was electric.
What were the other idiots doing?
Watching.
Yeah. So let them get involved.
You're not wrong, but when you are supposed to be the star of the team, you can't just go away for the other three.
Maybe the other team makes adjustments, so then you adjust to what they are adjusting to. So then you got an adjustment. See what I'm saying?
Adjust to the adjust.
You got to adjust.
I understand. Let me tell you.
It's all about adjusting. You adjusted here. They got to adjust there. And that's the way it works.
Damian Lillard had 21 points in the first quarter a couple of nights ago. He finished with 40. That's a much better night.
That's balance.
That's balance. There was no balance last night.
So listen, you just tell him, look, D'Angelo, just only scored 10 points in the first quarter from that.
I'm not telling him anything. I'm just pointing out the good and the bad. The good was he started hot. The bad, he finished cold.
Well, they adjusted.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of D'Angelo. The facts of D'Angelo.
F you.
Right, exactly. So anyway, 116-102 the final. They were outscored 59-35 in the second half. Perhaps if he had some offense left, they would have scored more than 35 points in the second half.
Perhaps there are some other offensive players on the team.
Karis LeVert, what are we doing? Exactly.
Provide some offense.
I don't know.
How many shots did they have in the second half?
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, perhaps? I don't know. So they did lose. Thunder beat the Hawks 119-107. Notable because Russell Westbrook had the triple-double, 32-12-12. You know what that's called? Balance, 100th triple-double of his career.
Did he have 24 in the first quarter?
He did not. No, he did not. I believe
he had
eight in the first, eight in the second, eight in the third, eight in the fourth.
Perfect.
He really balanced
it out.
That's
what you call balance, Jerry.
LeBron James went for 7, 7, 7, and 7. He finished with 28 points. Great balance. 13 rebounds, 11 assists.
But the
Cavaliers
Suns,
beat the Suns.
Man.
Yeah, but it's still a road win. They won a game they were supposed to win. Last time I checked, the Mavericks stunk. How'd the Knicks do at home against them?
Yeah, but I told you the Knicks, I'd send the whole team to the G League just to work on their confidence.
And LIU Brooklyn, a very short stay at the NCAA tournament. They lost their first four game to Radford, 71-61. St. Bonaventure beat UCLA 65-58. Tonight on The Fan, two games. You've got Texas Southern against NC Central, followed by Syracuse and Arizona State. We will have it at 6:30. Wagner and Ryder lose at the NIT as their seasons end. Rangers, Penguins tonight, the Devils skating in Las Vegas. Time now for Moment of the Day, which is brought to you by Resorts World Casino Queens with over 6,000 games on three spacious floors. They've got more right next door.
Moment of the Day!
Earlier while playing some clips, Greg was reminded of a Francesa story. Ricky asking him just about being done with spring basically soon.
Good news is we don't even go back to the field in Clearwater. We don't even visit there anymore.
The scene of the crime.
No. That's where he got hurt last year. So as they're having a little bit of a laugh and a little chat.
Someone told me a hilarious story when Mike was still here. the first time that Ricky Ricardo filed a rap that they played on the air, Mike was like, Ricky Ricardo? Are you kidding me? Ricky, like, I love Lucy? Ricky Ricardo? So then 2 weeks later, there was another rap that was played, and Mike was in the newsroom. He goes, you know, it's Ricky Ricardo I got on the job.
There you go. Moment of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.